Malachi here, and this is live from Studio A. Today, we are joined by Ida Jo for the first time in our studios. Ida has a album coming out shortly, and we'll be chatting about getting to know Ida. We've never had you in the studios before, learning a little bit about you, how you came to Duluth, your music. Also, later on, you do a I should say welcome first. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. We'll also get to some other stuff because you are very well-rounded. You have I've found that you've had your fingers in a lot of different arts as well as music. So looking forward to getting into all of that. Do you want to start us off with a song today?
Sure, absolutely. Well, thanks so much for having us. It's great to be here on KUMD. We're going to start off with the title track of the upcoming release that I have coming out on Thursday. This is a song called Bones.
Found me drifting so distantly. These bones carried me across the raging sea. From sand, and they'll make their way to the promised land. These bones will again be free. Till then, they'll carry me. These bones found me drifting so distantly. These bones ferried me across the raging sea. These bones came from sand, and they'll make their way back to the land. These bones will again be free. Till then, they'll carry me.
That's Ida Jo live from Studio A, and that is the title track and the single from the new album that is due out July 1st, correct?
That's exactly correct. Yeah, so, that's a track called Bones.
And do you want to talk a little bit about that one? I saw that it was inspired by this myth of the Bone Woman.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a, as you say, the myth of the Bone Woman, who's basically, you know, this creature, I guess, who walks around desolate places collecting bones from different creatures that she finds. And the myth goes that when she finds enough bones to create a whole skeleton, she sits very quietly and listens for what song to sing. And she begins to sing, and the bones sort of turn into this, in one of the myths, turn into this wolf who then starts running away and eventually turns into a woman who begins to laugh and run across this desolate place. So I loved that imagery.
Yeah, I love that imagery too. Is that something that, well, I want to get into a little bit later on, kind of where you've lived and how, and you, it seems like you've been well-traveled.
Yeah.
Is that something that you, where did you hear that myth, I guess? Did you pick that up traveling?
I read it in a book, Women Who Run with the Wolves, which is has a lot of mythology in it. But yeah, that myth has come up in different places. And I do like this idea, as you mentioned, traveling in throughout, you know, a lot of different places, just picking up different pieces of things, really, and different ideas, different ways of looking at the world, and how they can turn into song, and how we can all kind of run away laughing about it in song.
Yeah, that really is great imagery. And yeah. I think throughout the album there, it seems like that type of imagery, or is that a common inspiration for your songs?
Yeah.
Stories of this nature?
You know, I don't know if it's common or not, but I do really love this world that lives, you know, slightly beyond the very literal human world. And I like that about music in particular, that it can really straddle, you know, very, very human, very grounded, very rooted, but then also, you know, very otherworldly, heavenly even. And so I like the trying to find what songs can sort of sit in between those two worlds.
Yeah, on the fence of...
Yeah.
That's a nice...
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, a lot of the best music is... It has that otherworldly, sometimes mystical, some people, I guess, would even call it like psychedelic. In it,
exactly.
One way it manifests itself, but
exactly.
Yeah, like a foot in each world.
That's exactly it, yeah. And that's sort of my lifelong interest in music, is that it kind of does that whether you intend it to or mm-hmm. not. So I've especially on this album, tried to, you know, it's very human on one hand, but it's very musical and... hopefully otherworldly and on the other hand.
Yeah, well, stepping back both feet into the human world,
yeah.
you are living in Duluth now.
That's
but,
right.
But you've played music in Madison, Wisconsin for a while. Do you want to tell us a little bit about...
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up here in Duluth, and then I lived in Madison, Wisconsin for a long time, and that's sort of where I began playing, I guess, professionally, if you will, and began... touring and all that sort of thing, and released a lot of music there. And that's also where Scott Lamps, who's playing with me, where we met, both of us very involved in the music world in Madison. And then we've recently kind of come back here to Duluth. And so I guess another version of straddling a lot of different places.
Yeah. And you have also, have you spent time, are those the two main ones? Have you spent time anywhere else?
Yeah. Well, you know, those are the main things, but I've been traveling a lot, I guess, prior to COVID, traveling a lot, spending a lot of time in different cities, a lot of time in India in particular. And so, really sort of having a very humble home base from which to travel and be in different places.
And, do you have family still in Duluth? What inspired you to come back to Duluth after
all
those?
Yeah, I have a lot of family. I have, mom, aunt, my grandparents aren't too far from here. So yeah, very, very close to family. And you know, I like a lot of things about Duluth because it's a simple and humble place. And at the same time, a very, you know, beautiful, stunning place. So I like that simplicity. It makes being away in places that are crazy, it makes it nice to come home to the simplicity of it.
Yeah, and there are some, I feel like I see some parallels between Madison and Duluth.
Definitely.
Yep. You got water, both of them. I feel like a good culture of being able to play music, you know.
Absolutely.
Not a bad place to be. I made the Wisconsin back there to Minnesota jump. So.
Okay, great. Yeah, so you're familiar with it. I agree. It's there's a lot of similarities. Madison and Duluth in particular, good kind of musical places.
Mm-hmm. And as everyone can probably hear, Ida, you are a tremendous violin player.
Yeah.
Is that how you started playing music?
It is, yeah. So I've been a violinist really my whole life, classically trained, but also always interested in folk music. So I grew up playing Finnish folk music. My ancestors are from Finland, so I grew up playing a lot of Finnish and Scandinavian folk music. But all the way through my upbringing was always kind of playing classical music as well. So violin is really my I guess, main sort of instrument that's been with me pretty much my whole life. And as I started performing more, I've turned it into a little bit more of a rhythmic instrument, as you might have heard on the last track, just as a way to kind of, I guess, bring it into the singer-songwriter world a little bit.
Yeah. Is there anyone that you take a lot of inspiration from?
Yeah.
Any other? I'm trying to think of, are there some singer violinists that you...
Well, not really.
No? Yeah?
No, I mean, it's pretty rare, I would say, but there's a lot of really, well, I shouldn't say a lot. There's some really phenomenal rhythm violin players, specifically one who has actually a really exceptional album out right now. Casey Dreesen is his name. And he's fabulous. Daryl Anger, he's been around for a while. He's in the Turtle Island String Quartet.
Yep.
Yeah, he's really kind of one of the pioneers of that sort of rhythm violin as well. So I've learned a lot from them over the years, and they're not necessarily singers as well, but they have pushed the instrument into new worlds, which I really appreciate.
Did you find it hard to was the singing out of kind of necessity as you started to perform more? Was that something that you had experience with? Or did you really have to push yourself to learn how that went?
Yeah, I would say I really did have to push myself. It was a little bit like patting your head and rubbing your belly sort of a thing,
mm-hmm.
like trying to get one rhythm and note out on one thing and the opposite on the other. But now I've been doing it for a long time, so it's become a bit second nature now. But even still, if I try to learn a new tune or a new rhythm that's different, it's still a little bit of that.
And
whoa, wait a second.
Yeah, sorry.
No, yeah, please.
I also saw that, so this particular violin technique,
mm-hmm.
That you use, we're talking about you playing while you're singing in more of a rhythmic style. Is that the chopping?
Yeah, yeah. So sometimes it's called chopping. It's very much in that folk world where mm-hmm. it's called whatever you want to call it. I once had somebody tell me that they thought it sounded like squishing bugs. So, you know, it's but yeah, chops and grooves, and it's just that. Just using it as a, you know, similar to what a guitar or something would do, but totally different harmonic structure, I guess.
Yeah, it really, I think, gives your voice a lot of room, but also, you know, sounds like more than two people. I think it adds like an extra layer. Well, do you want to play us another song?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's play Stardust. So we'll play one that features some of that rhythm. And so this is also a new song from the upcoming release, and this is called Stardust. You keep searching for something miraculous. Just look with your naked eye. See the constellation so high up in the sky. We're living in a memory. How much more we can't see if we stop looking in the wrong places. At home, keep trying to find out who you are, searching for destiny.
But you have to trust in them. The fact you're stardust, what more do you need? We're living in a memory. How much more we can see if we stop looking in the wrong places at only what
You're hearing from Ida Joe live from Studio A, another one from the upcoming album Bones, and that one's called Stardust.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans for the album release?
Well, you know, we're still at least I am still a little bit in this nebulous state of, are we open? Are we not open? Are we gathering? Are we not gathering? So we're doing I'm doing as much online stuff as I can, and then Scott and I, who's playing with me, we're going to start a little online sort of short mini concerts called An Old, A New, and A Favorite. So a new track from the album and an old favorite of ours. And so doing a lot of online stuff for the meantime and slowly transitioning back.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun program. When will that be?
Yeah, we'll
start
that.
Does it have a start date?
You know, yes. We'll start it probably next week.
Okay.
I'll be posting about it and we'll have it on my website. So if anybody's interested, idajoe.com, and we'll have more information about that.
Cool. And I saw there's a lot of cool stuff on your website. I saw this kind of international collaboration piece with your music.
Yeah.
Dancing from Munich.
Yep.
Am I correct? And then also some other music as well from India.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, one of the really sort of gifts of the last year and being forced online is that, you know, the sort of international barriers actually went away in some ways, even though they were put up in others. But we've been doing a lot of online concerts over the last year and a half now, almost, with different artists, a lot in India, but also, you know, Munich, as you mentioned, South America. And most of them have been fundraiser efforts for communities that have been overly devastated by not just the pandemic, but the sort of aftermath of what that causes with lockdowns and people that live sort of on daily wages, and that locking down is not really an option for them. And so primarily in India, but, you know, just basically doing fundraising art sort of things, but bringing some awareness to those that have been particularly devastated by what's happened. So, yeah, I've collaborated with a musician named Arko Mukherjee quite a bit. That's the one in the video that you mentioned. And then Sandra Chatterjee is the dancer, and both like really, really phenomenal musicians. And so that's been a positive for me, just collaborating with them. So the video is really beautiful, shot with a bunch of rural images of rural India, and it's cool to transport you to a different place.
Yeah, it's a really cool video. Have you found that all the online stuff, did that come easy? Because we've kind of heard, I feel like we've heard two sides. We've heard from people who I think really feed off the energy. They've talked about it's weird because you're not getting a reaction, mm-hmm. right? Whereas, you know, traditionally musicians, you can see that on the faces, the clapping, mm-hmm. whatever it may be. And then other people who have really enjoyed it and found that, you know, we can reach more people like you've talked about than ever before. Maybe people who, for whatever reason, can't make it to shows, you know, if they're differently abled or like you're talking about, which I hadn't thought about as much, which is just the international aspect of being online.
Yeah, I think that it is definitely a mixed bag. You know, I think if I were just trying to do online shows by myself and try to make it what it is live, mm-hmm. it's disappointing. Because like you say, you don't have that energy, you don't have the reaction, and you're just then in front of your computer for another hour in your day. You know, it's a little awkward. But at the same time, I think these collaborations have been really fulfilling. And concerts where, you know, somebody's in South America, somebody's in India, we're in Duluth, you know, and you go from person to person like that. And it's a little bit more of a artist circle kind of thing. That's really cool because that, you know, wouldn't happen unless it was a very special circumstance to get all those artists in one place. So that part is fulfilling, but I'll certainly be looking forward to live shows as well.
Yeah, I think everyone is. Are any of those things you were just talking about, are those archived anywhere? I know the video that we had talked about, that one you can find on Ida Joe's website. Some of that other stuff, it just sounds so cool. I just was wondering if people can find it anywhere.
I know that this artist, Arko Mukherjee, he's got a record coming out, and there's some collaboration tracks that'll be on that. And we'll probably do some more concerts in the future. So I don't think it's archived except for a few videos, but hopefully more live mm-hmm. sort of events in the future.
Yeah, so switching gears a little bit, I think it's been, you put your first album out in 2010.
That's right.
And 2021 now, this will be your ninth album.
Yeah.
But in that time, you've also, you haven't just stuck to music. I feel like you are not the jack of all trades, master of none. You are a master of many. You have a master in yoga.
Yeah.
You also release art. You've done a TED Talk.
Yeah.
How have you found time to do all this while putting out what will be 9 albums in 12 years?
Yeah, you know, I don't know that I have a good answer for that. Just day to day, I sort of relax by working on new projects, I think. So I find it not tiring. I find it really invigorating. So that's partially it. And I really just follow interests and opportunities. And I've been lucky enough to be given some, you know, perhaps rare or different opportunities, traveling and studying yoga, as you mentioned. So it has just all unfolded, I guess, the way that it has. And I'm not afraid to say, yeah, I'll try that, you know, to something new or something interesting. Mm-hmm. And so that has really opened up some new doors for me which has been great.
Was the time between these this upcoming Bones album, is this the longest chunk of time?
Yeah.
I'm guessing, you know, because of the pandemic. What's that been like, too?
Yeah, you know, it's strange. I realized that it had been 4 years since I put out the last record, which feels like a very, very long time to me. But, yeah, it was really busy. I was studying yoga a lot, so that was taking up a lot of time. And then the pandemic, I think when I would have released it, the pandemic hit. And that was interesting because it slowed the process way down, and we had to sort of schedule recording time when the pandemic would allow for that, and do it much slower and much more scaled back. But it was interesting because it pushed the sound in a way that I don't think I would have pushed it otherwise. And so there's no drums. It's basically all the instruments that I could play. Mm-hmm. And it gave it a different feel. And once I just relaxed into it being what it is, I was really happy with it.
Yeah, it's just you and Scott on
the
album?
That's right, yep.
And in the past, have you done more of a...
Yeah, I would think I would... In the past, I've filled it out more, you know, drums, or brought in different players, brought in percussionists, especially a lot of rhythm players. But it just created so much more trouble. Like, the two of us were already sort of quarantined together. So,
yeah.
So like, we could be in one booth and the engineer could be in a separate booth and we could make do once the idea of adding a whole nother person to the mix. It was like, that was going to make it so much more complicated that it was sort of a haven for us. We could just go and, like, the engineer was in the booth. We were all, you know, safe, masked when we needed to be. And in that way, then it could be this space where we could just relax. And I don't know if it was as fun for the engineer as it was for us, because it was a lot of one take on guitar, one take on bass, one take on fiddle. But it was really nice. It was a highlight of the dark winter that we all had.
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah, well, it's nice to, and like you said, we are, things aren't definite, you know. We're clearly mm-hmm. moving towards more shows, but not out of the, you know,
exactly.
Not out of the trouble completely by any means. And it's just been so interesting to see the different ways that people are moving back. Luckily, we do have some good outdoor spaces in Duluth.
Right, yeah.
Seems like that's, you know, still haven't been to an indoor show, I don't think. But it is just nice to see musicians getting back into it. And
yeah.
So on a personal level, away from the music, did you find having maybe more free time, being stuck in one place, stressful? Do you think it was?
Yeah. I mean, it was, there was definitely a period of a lot of, okay, this is what it's going to be like, because my life had picked up the pace quite a bit in the years before that. A lot of touring, a lot of teaching. Basically, everything I did involved traveling and gathering people in rooms together.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay, none of that is going to happen for the foreseeable future. And there was definitely a period where, like, coming to terms with that was, you know, it was just a shock, as it was to us all. But I guess it's maybe in my study of philosophy that it's, you know, it's basically an opportunity, anything that happens. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, this is what it is. So, you know, what are you going to do with it or not do? But it isn't going to change what we're all going to go through. So
yeah.
You have to just be creative, really.
Yeah, and there's a song on the album that is kind of directly referencing that, right? The Pennies in a Song.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that it's like we're all going to go through it. So how can we go through it as, you know, with as much care, I guess, and care for each other? Because some people are going to, you know, I heard this interesting thing that there's the frontline workers, you know, were like, couldn't be home. We needed them to work more and more and more and more and more. And then the rest of us had to do nothing and stay home. And so trying to be as caring toward the situation as possible and get us all through it, you know, like with a little bit of scarring is like the best possible outcome.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you mentioned on your website, like, instead of a few taking this big hit or, you know, complete loss, everybody taking a little bit.
Exactly.
And I like that idea. I think it's, you know, it's crazy times out there, regardless of the pandemic, but just a really good message for, like, compassionate living and...
Yeah, it was clear, like you say, we're all going to lose. So, you know, and some people are going to lose everything, lose their life, you know. And so if for those of us that are lucky enough to stay healthy and make it through, to try to be as giving as possible.
Yep, that is a great message. Well, before we hear the last song and before we wrap up, the album, once again, due out this Thursday. For folks out there, will be a physical release, CDs.
Do
you know what the plan is?
It'll be, yeah, all online. Mm-hmm. Basically anywhere you get online music, it should be there. I've got some links on my website already, and it'll all be out this Thursday, July 1st.
Awesome. Yeah, a great start to the month. We'll be looking forward to it. Well, what do you want to wrap up with?
Well, we would like to wrap up with a song called Songbird. And this is sort of my ode to the last year and a half. And so a little ballad for you.
Wonderful.
I cried at the tomb of Saint Francis with so much to redeem. So I sang at the tomb of Martin Luther King, finished just in time to hear. I have a dream, now the bells are too heavy to sing. The winds of change are blowing, but not stirring up anything. Now my voice is too heavy to sing. How does a songbird take flight with a clipped wing? Gasp for air. So I tried, but amazing grace was everywhere. All we could cry out is we're still not there. Now the bells are too heavy to ring. The winds of change are blowing, but not stirring up anything. Now my voice is too heavy to sing. How does a songbird take flight with a clipped wing? Fall as we've taken done. I hear silence in the streets. But empty pots and empty pans and empty hearts still beat. Now the bells are too heavy to ring. The winds of change are blowing, but not stirring up anything. Now my voice is too heavy to sing. How does a songbird
It is live from Studio A. You just heard from Ida Joe and one from the upcoming Bones album. That one we just heard is called Songbird.
That's right, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been fun to get to know you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. It's been a pleasure.
And we are looking forward to hearing your music around Duluth.
Sounds great.
Yeah, good to have you back in Duluth.
Thanks.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by Christine Dean, Malachi Coons, and Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thank you for listening.